This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
At Al Sharpton's House of Justice rally, a moment of silence was observed for Sergeant LaDavid Johnson. The civil rights activist says President Trump's war of words and tweets regarding his death is beneath the office he embodies.
Only Donald Trump can find a way to fight with a widow while she's burying a military officer.
Congresswoman Frederica Wilson says she heard Trump on speakerphone tell the widow that her husband knew what he was getting into. Trump tweeted Wilson fabricated his statement, and it escalated from there. I'm Julie Walker.
Hey, guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today, we've got a super special guest for you. We're joined by Natasha Blazek. Natasha is an actress, and she's also the bassist of the band The Snowflakes. Natasha, how's it going?
Oh, it's great, great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, you're welcome. I'm super excited to talk with you a little bit about just what you have going on. I know that you're a heavy hitter. I mean, you act. You're also a musician. Tell me a little bit about what got you into, I guess, the creative mindset or just the world of being a creative type. Because it seems like you're very multifaceted. Who was it that got you into it?
Thank you so much, first of all, for saying all these nice things. I think I started acting when I was a kid. I think I was 7 or 8 years old. I'm originally from Ukraine, so this is where I started doing some theater. Then my parents enrolled me into music school, so I was playing piano as a kid, and also I was doing some dancing. So I really started, and I was a gymnast too. So I think my parents really, like, young age put me to do all this fun stuff. And later, I never felt like I would be pursuing this in my life as a career, because from Ukraine, you know, you just think that's not even an option. I never even thought that could be an option. So I went ahead and I got a degree in international economy. I got a master's degree in that. So I was, you know, aiming for a little bit different life. And then I got married. And actually, the guy that I married, he's from Tennessee. He's from Jackson, Tennessee.
Where our studio is. We're here in Memphis.
Oh, wow. So that I checked the website, and it's like, I think, oh, my gosh. This is like,
yeah, it's only about an hour away.
That's pretty cool. And he's a songwriter and a producer, composer for film, TV. And I remember when he told me that. I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy's crazy. It's like, how do you, like, you know, put your life all in, you know, creative field? But then there's something that's, like, always fascinated about that. And then he's like, I started seeing what he does, and he's very encouraging. And he started encouraging me to do acting. Like, even that encouragement, he's like, would you like to go on a set and see if you like it? And I was like, okay. And my first time on a set, I just loved it so much. I just felt this magic, and it's just like, I was just in love. And then Martin taught me how to play bass guitar. So I think, like, because of Martin, I actually do what I do.
Totally.
And, you know, and also, you know, just like this dream that it's, I thought it could never be even a reality. Now it's just my daily life, and I'm really, really grateful for that. So that's exciting to me.
Yeah, I'd say so. What's it like being married to a fellow creative type? I know you said that, you know, Martin really, really helped you in terms of, you know, your career and just, I guess, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone. Do you guys ever, I guess, butt heads, or is it,
you know what's interesting? In life, like, I don't, like, it's not like I'm such a good listener to him. I can just, like, I can protest and say, like, oh, I totally don't think so. But in art, I trust his opinion so much, and I'm very respectful of his opinion, and we just work really well together. It's just crazy. When it's in the life, we can have, you know, like a normal daily, you know, arguments about, like, you know, this soap or, you know, some little things. But when it comes to creative stuff, somehow it just works for us really well. It's like by magic. It's I don't know. It's like I can, like I know we know how when to stop, and he even coaches me for acting, and it just works. And with music, I really trust his opinion, obviously, and all the songs that we play with our band Snowflake, Martin writes and. And he, because he's so thoughtful of my bass playing skills, all our actually songs, he wrote like really easy on bass so I can, you know, pick it up easy. And yeah, it's like in creative stuff, it just works so effortlessly, even though sometimes in real life, you know, like normal people, we just have our moments.
Absolutely, absolutely. So tell me, like, you're, you know, I know that you're pretty modest about your bass playing abilities, but is there? Would you say that there are, I guess, any specific bass players that you really draw inspiration from? Anybody in any other bands that you have seen and that you kind of, I guess, gravitate towards?
I mean, to be honest, I'm like I'm impressed with anybody and everybody who can play bass. So just to be honest, like I just really truly admire and I never think about myself as a musician first. So when people ask me those questions, like, no, it's like I know so I'm like a really silly girl. But seriously, I just admire everybody who can play an instrument and I listen to music and I'm just impressed with everybody who like has a beat and a feel and I think what I'm more I play, more I appreciate music and I appreciate musicians. And you know what I said, like appreciating more with more I play drummers, because in our band we have only two people official members, it's me and Martin, but we always try to play with drummers, and so we have different drummers. And through my kind of journey through music, I started appreciating drummers more and more and kind of understanding, you know, some people have a more technical way of playing, but some people just have this unexpected, like, a soul. That, you know, a lot of people, I heard it a lot, oh, he's a, like a soul player. But honestly, before, I did not even know what it means. But more play with drummers, this is how I think, like, I started having more and more appreciation for that instrument just because that's how my kind of musical journey develops. And that's what I, in a weird way, I start paying attention more to drummers than bass players. So I don't know who's my favorite. Martin, I'm seriously, my world is like so funny. It's like, it's all about Martin. It's like, I guess it's good for him.
Absolutely.
It's like, Martin is the greatest, but that's how I truly feel about music, because he's my teacher, and he does play bass, and he plays, his first instrument is a guitar, and he plays all kinds of instruments. So I know it can sound like really like kind of I don't know what, but like my husband is my favorite person ever.
That's awesome.
But
no,
I truly like, I truly admire, and I, because I am, you know, he's such a good teacher that he guides me, and I, through his guidance, I appreciate and understand and learn, and yeah, like Martin is my favorite.
Hey, that's awesome. I love it. I think it's great. You touched on this a little bit, but I was wondering if you could just tell us again, how did you and Martin meet?
We actually met online, and it was like some years ago now. And my friend back in Ukraine, actually my sister's friend, she had an agency, like a dating agency. Okay. And she was like, can I put you on my website, because I just need like more people, so it looks like, you know, like I have real agency, not just like one person on it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, sure. So I just like said yes, just because, you know, just to help a friend. And then I started getting all these emails and, you know, people writing. And first, I didn't even take it seriously. I said, like, that's silly. I mean, I think nowadays, like, we all, you know, meet through social media and it's totally fine. But I never thought, like, dating through social media or like that. So I never thought it's a good idea. But actually, it became a very good idea, because I thought sometimes in life you can be, you know, too shy or judge people too fast or you know, don't ever actually give yourself time to understand if you like the person. But I thought, like, when we start, like, dating like that, I start writing people these long letters and emails, you do get to know people very well. And I remember I met, we would talk to Martin, like, I talked to him every day on the phone, like maybe 2 hours a day.
Okay.
He's just like really, and I really enjoy talking to him. And because of the time difference, I remember he would ask me, like, what time should I call you? And I was like, 6 o'clock in the morning. Yes. I don't know why would I say that. Then he calls me, it's like, you know, it's his, like, L.A. evening, but I like, Ukraine, 6 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, I'm sleeping. I'm like, so, and I felt like, you know, it was weird. Like, I felt comfortable not saying anything. I know it sounds like, but with certain people, like, you never get to this comfort level. Like, you always feel like you need to entertain and you need to, you know, do some magic tricks in order to be interesting. Mm-hmm. But I felt with Martin, I just could be myself, and you know, like, I would take my phone and it's like, oh, I'm still sleeping, and I don't know, it's like this kind of like magical comfort. That's how we met, and then he visited Ukraine for like a bunch of times, and we traveled a little around the Europe. And I think, you know, people say that the best way to know about people is like travel with them. So we traveled, and I saw him being kind of like out of his comfort zone, like in countries that he doesn't understand language, you know, like just to see how he deals with people. And I thought I never met a person like this before who's so just a nice person, like without any weird tricks and just a honest, good guy. So I was, I love that. I really love that.
That is something that is a really admirable or admirable quality, because it's like, you know, nowadays it seems like everybody has a motive or an agenda, but to find somebody that is pure hearted and, you know, just doesn't do things without a motive is, you know, it's pretty cool. You know what I mean? It makes that person very rare, very special. And, I can see why you love him.
But it took me a while, you know, because I was, like, keep expecting a trick, like, for a couple of years. I was thinking, like, when will he change? It would be, like, you know, his other side will come out and say, like, ha, 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 that was a little trick. Because truly, like, maybe it's, like, I was preconditioned to expect the worst out of people and then meet somebody so, like, open and pure, and it's, like, oh, wow, where's the trick? Maybe it's a Tennessee thing. I don't know.
I think so. You know, being down south here, it definitely has its perks. It's a lot of friendly people, good-hearted people.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like you were telling me about the raising. I think the parents did an incredible job. And
thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And you have very, like,
Oh, thank you. I want to jump ahead, and I want to talk a little bit about your role in Jamie Foxx's newest movie, All-Star Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like filming that? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, to say that I enjoyed it, it would be, I think, understatement. I mean, first of all, when I got my audition, I was like, oh, my gosh, like Jamie Foxx, really? And it's not the biggest role, but it's like 6 pages. So for me, I got the script. I got so excited. Like, you know, of course, like my insecurities kicked in. I was like, oh, why would I even bother going there? But at the same time, like, oh, my gosh, too exciting. What an opportunity. And I read the script, and I just, like, I really connected to the character really fast. And then I did an audition, and I was just, like, I felt really, you know, fun and good. It was very easy. And then I, like, next thing I know, I have a callback. And this is when I started, like, freaking out. I was like, oh, my gosh, because it's like that felt like, okay, this is for real now. So I'm going for the callback, and even before entering the room, I see Jamie Foxx. And the night before, I watched a bunch of his YouTube videos, like anything I could find, you know, besides I'm a huge fan of his talent. And so I just met him right outside the building, and he just said, you know, just say hello. And so I was so nervous, excited. And then I entered the room, and I started reading, and he just started improvising a little and laughing and slapping his knees. And I was like, my mind, oh my God, Jamie Foxx is laughing at my comedy. It just was so unbelievably exciting, and it was just like, oh my gosh, is this for real? Mm. And so I read just once, and he laughs, and I just walked out. I got in the car like in a, I mean, kind of like a zombie, like what just happened mode. And then I was driving back, and I got a call from my manager that I booked it. And I think, wow. I didn't even know, like the feeling is like, it was so strange because I felt like I was crying. Like, it was a joy. It was, like, just being, like, because, you know, you work so hard. Like, every role is a miracle. And, like, seeing such a, like, the person who you admire, the actor that you admire so much, who just, like, said, like, I like you, this was a big deal. So I think on the way back, I had this, like, day. Confused, I don't know, feelings with the tears of joy and just belief. And then it's like, it was just like, oh my gosh, really, this has just happened? And then filming it, I was, of course, I was like, I wanted, like, okay, this is my chance. I better do, like, really good. And on the set, everybody was so nice. And it's just so fun to be around such talented people because the scene I had, like, with Jeremy Piven, with Jamie Foxx, Eva Longoria, and another scene, actually, I did not even know who's going to be in the scene until the last moment. And then I get the call sheet, and it's like Gerard Butler. I was like, oh, my gosh. So it was just, like, the whole experience was so,
yeah,
like, out of this world and so exciting. And at the same time, like, working with people who with such a great talent and seeing them working. And when we did the scene with Jamie Foxx and Jeremy Piven, then they started improvising. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm improvising. But, like, geniuses. So this is what runs through my mind. I was like, don't fuck it up. So it was, like, scary. And at the same time, it's like, that's what I, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I want to act with people who are better than me. I want to be, like, driven by those kind of moments and always work on, you know, on my craft. And Jamie Foxx was so, so supportive, like, so supportive of. And he's a person who does not, like, he gives you so much encouragement and so much. It's just like he, like, it's okay. Like, just like, you go and do what you have to do. It's like there's no, like, I work with some other directors who just kind of, it feels always like they almost don't want you to do good. There's some kind of, like, strange jealousy or whatever it is happening there. But that's not the person he is. He just wants everybody around him to be great. And that's actually his first, this is his directorial debut. So it was like, I was just so grateful to kind of, you know, be a part of that because, you know, I see how much he wanted to make it great. And just to be a part of that is so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, so, you know, you've acted in films before. Do you have any, like, I guess any type of, like, rituals or anything that you do to help you prepare for a role? Because I know, like, each role is different and, you know, sometimes it's like you have to do different things for, you know, to prepare for different roles or different aspects of the role. Is there anything that you do, I guess, to prepare, per se, for the role that you're taking on?
I mean, yeah, like for different roles, like, you know, you kind of put yourself in a different mindset. I don't know if it's like some kind of ritual, but I like to, you know, read the script like so many times in order to create this world and kind of feel it and see it in your mind. So you need to get yourself to that point. And then when you and you go on a set, and then you just let it go. That's what I do. It's like everything that I've prepared, you kind of just like drop it, and then it's like I feel like this is then it's organically, you know,
right.
happens. But yeah, you know, I watch. You know, I read one movie I did. It was based on classic literature, on Dostoevsky's literature. So that role was really fun because it gave me a chance to read so many great books. And I actually really appreciated that role. It was called Notes from the New World. And my character was based on the Crime and Punishment. So for me, that was very fulfilling just because kind of like give myself permission to read this great stories and reimagine and kind of put my own filter on it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that very, very much. So I think that was like one of my favorite roles just because I could, you know, go back and read. But I, you know, like everybody reading books, watch some YouTube videos. Actually, in one film, I played Marlon Brando's first wife, Anna Cassidy, and I even found a book that she wrote. So I read that book, and then at this point, I found out she lived in San Diego. I think maybe I should go to San Diego and you know, talk to her. But then more I was reading her book, more I was thinking maybe it's not such a good idea. So I did not go. I did not meet her in person. But actually, I don't know. Maybe I should. But yeah, like you read, you at least I do, and then you just to the point that it's like you can just smell this world. You can just, it's so vivid in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, and you know what, like it's crazy for me. Sometimes it's hard for me to drop the character after because you are becoming that person. And that's where my trouble begins, to drop it.
Absolutely.
One movie, I went to India and I shot it and the role was pretty intense. The movie called The Black Russian.
Yeah.
And just being like, you know, out of the country, like at least my usual life, like don't come back every night home. It's really put me in this surreal world of the character. And then I came back, you know, to LA a month later. I was still living in India. I was still there. It was really, really, really hard to, you know, just to, like you close your eyes and you, my dreams were about, you know, the characters. Like you just feel different. You know, sometimes you just, you know that you're not dreaming from your perspective, but from somebody else. So I had a lot of dreams like that. I think horror films, I've done a bunch of horror films. The same, like, after I finish, I think after one especially, I had, like, real, like, lots of, you know, scary dreams. Speaking of Halloween, ha, 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 ha.
I know.
Scary. Yeah. So that was really hard for me. I was like, I wanted to drop it. I was like, please, don't think about that anymore. But, yeah, you know, like, to get in the character is, like, you push yourself to get there. But get out of character is, like, it's just like, okay, enough. Get to drop it now. But, like, sometimes it's tough.
So
I think, like, for me, ritual to prepare is, like, more discipline, you know. It's like I know what I need to do. Like I know when I sign, for example, I read the script. I like kind of like clear my mind, like almost meditate, so I don't have any agendas like about my regular life, like whatever I go through. I just need to drop it. So and then with like you know clear mind and like very balanced attitude, then I start reading to sort of to catch the essence without you know my judgment. Of the moment.
Absolutely.
So, stuff like that. But yeah, I'm dropping character to that part.
I wanted to ask you something. This is kind of like a weird question, but this kind of ties in with you know, what she said about Halloween and, you know, the you know scary movies. There was an article a couple of years back about you having sex with a ghost. Is that true?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry to ask.
Okay, can I tell you something really ridiculously funny and stupid, and probably my husband will kill me for that. He talked to his brother, and he's like, his brother was like, sex with a goat? I couldn't stand behind it. Monty's like, no, ghost, ghost. Well, so yes, I did that interview, and that was, I don't know. I thought a lot about it, if I should say that or not, because I knew it's kind of like the unusual subject to touch, so to speak. And I do understand that it sounds really out there and just like, what? And but I thought, you know, I'm always fascinated by stuff, supernatural stuff and stuff we don't know. And I thought, well, if I'm not going to voice it, you know, we will never find out if it's like, does it happen to certain people? Or is it like common? Or people just don't talk about it? Or like, so I think this was driving me to kind of share the experience in order to just find out more about it. Because it happened, and I was like, okay, you know, a lot of crazy things happen. So my character, I just tried to push it out of my mind and just try not to think about it. But then my friend Patty, she starts like asking if anything like this happened to me. I was like, well, that was an experience. But she's like, oh, this is totally a ghost. I was like, oh, I don't know if it's a ghost. It's like, nobody comes to you, introduce himself, and says, like, hey, my name is a ghost. And
right.
Let's have something happening. It just happens in such a, you know, like surreal, weird way. Like, and I'm asking myself, was it for real? But it felt so real. Like, I felt like it was really happening. It's like, you know, then I do understand, like, I have sometimes really vivid dreams, but it felt different than that. So I don't know. It's like, it was just, I think before the interview, I started like thinking, should I say this or should I not? Should I say that? I didn't sleep the whole night kind of trying to figure out. But then I was like, okay, I'm going to just say it because that's what I think happened. And then after, you know, so many people wrote me. And that's when I felt like, okay, that's a good thing that I said it. Because so many people wrote me that actually that happened to them. So many people wrote me that, you know, this is so scary and you should go to the church. And actually I took that advice seriously too. I should go to the church. And so they were like, and I felt like I was happy that I actually did it, because it was confirmation that something like this is happening, and we used to not talk about it because it just sounds crazy. I remember one interview I did, and the hostess suddenly started saying, like, yeah, this thing happened to me. So I think I'm happy that I did say that, but yeah, that was quite a ride.
Absolutely.
Have anything like this happened to you?
No, I can't say that.
Okay. That's good to know. But do you think, like, then you read it, what did you think? Did you think, like, oh my gosh, it's really crazy?
I didn't think it was that far-fetched. I mean, because, you know, I regard myself as a spiritual person, and mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, there is a spiritual world just like there's a natural world, and I just feel like sometimes the two intersect, and it is plausible, you know what I mean? I think that it can mm-hmm. happen. A lot of people kind of shy away from it. They don't want to talk about it. But I just feel like it's, you know, that world is just as real as, you know, this world. You know, it's not always as tangible. But I just feel like, you know, it is real. And so, but I can see why people would think that it was, you know, kind of, I guess, off-putting or whatever, but mm-hmm. but no, I think it's very plausible.
I think so too, and I wish, like, you know, it would be more studies about that. And also, it always fascinates me that they say, like, we use only up to 5 to 8% of our own brain. I was like, oh my gosh,
that's right.
So
right.
much undeserved right. potential. It's like, why? Why don't we study, and why don't we, you know, try to use more?
Yes, absolutely.
And I think, what if, like, things that they think now is totally supernatural, it actually could be very natural, and it just should be in our skill set. So I don't know, like, you know, questions like this, they do come up. Like, I'm very curious about that. And I like whatever you just said about that wealth can be very tangible, and I believe in that. I totally believe in it. And I like that we talk about it on Halloween.
Yes. Any plans for Halloween? Are the snowflakes doing anything? Any special surprise shows or anything? Natasha, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Somehow my phone was ringing my agent.
Oh, that's weird.
Hello. That was crazy.
That was
crazy. Natural.
Do you have any plans for Halloween coming up? Any surprise shows or anything?
Well, if it would be a surprise show, it would be surprising even to me. Actually, last week we played a show. It was a fundraiser for Hurricane. So that was good. The charity raises money to fight cancer. And I love to be a part of that because actually my husband Martin's his family was affected by it, and you know, both of his parents. So I love to, you know, be a part of cancer fighting charities. But so we did the show last week, and it was like that was my surprise show for Halloween. It was great. But I don't know anything. That about surprise shows coming up this Halloween, this weekend. So I think I'm just going to go and enjoy Halloween and be spooked and be scared. I love Halloween, by the way. It's one of my favorite holidays because when I moved to America, in Ukraine, we didn't celebrate it as much. So for me, it was something very new and very like, oh, wow, you can dress up and just act silly and... And now it's one of my favorite holidays. Like for this fundraiser, I dressed up as a devil. I was like, that was quite fun. So I think this weekend I will dress up as a Cleopatra. Oh, Marilyn Monroe. I have her costume too, so I didn't decide it yet.
Okay.
What are you going to dress up as?
I'm not sure yet. Maybe Green Lantern.
Oh, I love that character.
Yes. I'm a super. I love DC Comics, and I'm a super fan. And so, any chance that I get, I usually try to take full advantage of dressing up as a hero, a DC Comics hero.
So. Oh, I love that you love superheroes. That's so. I start loving it more and more and more. I think like first. I was like very confused with all this culture. I was like, why do people love superheroes so much? But then more I was like really confused with isn't it like for kids or something? But then more I was researching, and I would go to Comic-Con, and I realized how empowering it is and how I just love it now. We even have an idea of our own to make a superhero movie. So I'm like really a big superhero fan now.
That's awesome.
And I think last year I dressed up as a Wonder Woman, and I'm like a huge, huge Wonder Woman fan. So yeah, I approve you of your costume.
thank you.
Go be super. What do you like about dressing up like that? Like, what is like to you there?
I guess it's just. You know, the aspect of, you know, being able to step outside of reality for a short time,
mm-hmm.
just being able to celebrate, you know, the characters, the fictional characters that I've grown to love, you know, since
mm-hmm.
I was a kid. And I don't know. It's just like just being able to just not be yourself for just one day, you know, like. Being
yeah.
able to pretend to be somebody else, you know, for just a day even is like, to me, it's just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. And I do think every time we do something like that, you know, even we think it's like we're stepping out of our character, but then we take back of that powerful character back to with us. after it's all done. I totally believe in that. Every time I play characters like this or dress up, like somebody so powerful and strong, it's like after I even take off the character or costume, I feel more empowered. I feel like, whoa, you know, I'm stronger than I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So right.
I like it.
I like it.
Oh, it's fun. Everybody should dress up as a, you know, superhero, and the world would be a better place.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the world needs, just more love, more lightheartedness, you know, just people being like kids, because, you know, like kids don't hold grudges and all this stuff, you know, it's like they might
hate
each other, but, you know, they just let it go, you know, and that's really what the world needs more of, you know, people with, you know, childlike qualities, you know.
Yes, yes, I agree, yeah. It's like, just be kinder to ourselves, to others, support each other. Like, you know, like, keep playing, like, just play with each other. Don't take life so seriously, but then try to make a difference for better.
Yes, you're so right. You're so right. Well, Natasha, I want to thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you coming on today's show. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to just open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
I'm sorry, one more time. I didn't hear that.
I was just saying that I wanted to thank you so much for joining us on today's show. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
I would just say thank you so much for having me. And, you know, like you said, just, you know, let's try to be kinder to each other and support each other with love and, you know, compassion. And I think the world will be. I think that's, you know, that's what I would like to kind of ended up my interview. And I just want to say, you know, how kind it was, like, from you to reach out and do this interview. Like, let's just do more stuff like that. Reach out to people and try to make a positive change in their lives. Maybe be more active. Not just if you see something wrong, actually step outside your, like we were just talking about, out of your comfort zone and make a difference in people's lives. So I think that's what I would like to end up our interview. And you know, as a musician now, I do, like, we like to put a message in our songs, and I actually really enjoy doing this too, because the next year I'm not in this point of my career yet where I choose the roles that I play, even though this latest Jimmy Fox role, that I was really happy to, you know, be cast. But as a musician, I have more freedom to put the message that I would love to, you know, world to hear. And and we have a lot of songs about positive thinking and just be, you know, positive environment, stuff like that. So I just think we all should put our message out there, and not in a, you know, like, you have to like my message, but just let the world know who you are. And that's what I learned from Jimmy Fox. Shine and let other people shine.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. It was fun. And have a great Halloween, everybody.
You as well. Thank you so much, Natasha.
Thank you. Thank you. It was fun talking to you.
Likewise. I enjoyed it.
Me too. Have a good day.
All right. You as well.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Bye.